I mentioned to you as we began today that my subject has to do with trusting God and believing God. And trusting God goes beyond believing God, way beyond believing God. Psalm 91, verse 2, the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. The first part of that verse shows us his belief, that he believes God, and he looks at the Lord and says, You're my refuge, you're my fortress, you're my God. And that's belief. And then he says, In him I trust. So belief and trust go together, and yet at the same time, they're different. The first thing I want to just bring to our attention, and we're aware of that more and more all the time, is that life is not predictable, is it? Who would have ever thought that one of our brothers would have had bypass surgery? You know, walks all the time, strong, and yet he had to. That's unpredictable. There's a lot of things that happen in every one of our lives, and I know each one of you today can look at things in your life and you can see something unpredictable. There are ups and downs along the way in life. It's not, some people think, and especially, I don't know, people get that attitude or the feeling sometimes, especially for Christians, that it's going to be a bed of roses, you know, and everything's going to be right, everything's going to be perfect every day. Well, perfection's not here yet. It will be one day, but it's not now. And a lot of us, many people, want to trust God. But what it's not always easy to do. When times are good, we can feel it easier, you know, trusting Him to get us through the day, get us through the traffic, you know, things like that. Those are simple things. But when times begin to feel difficult, it's in those times that it is more important to trust God and not to panic, not to become frantic, but to trust Him. God's unchanging character is what can give us a firm foundation when the feelings in our life are unsteady and they're uncertain. When the circumstances of our life are unsteady and uncertain. Life can be going along smoothly for a season, can it? You know, you can be going along through life. Your job is doing great. You love it. Your friends and your family are all enjoyable to be around. You look at your life, your personal life, your goals, your finances, your health, your outlook. Everything just seems bright. And then all of a sudden, life throws a curveball. And all of a sudden, things are different. Someone you know gets sick. Someone you know is diagnosed with cancer, a close friend or family member. You lose your job. A friend or a family member betrays you. Or your country is invaded unexpectedly. The things that you felt secure in, all of a sudden, are shaky. All of a sudden, there's some uncertainty there about your life and about the future. What's going to happen? How is this going to play out? And sometimes we might even begin to question God. Well, is God in this? You know, I think we have to always remember God is in control, no matter what. Even when things in our life are come to us and they're unpredictable. So the question is, how do you trust God and trust that God is good and trust that God has a purpose in these trying circumstances and situations in our life? Maybe that's one of the hardest things, is not just that God is good, but what is the purpose of this? That's what we have a hard time seeing at times, isn't it? And so I think that's a big question for us. How do you trust God when you do not understand what is happening? And haven't you gone through situations like that? You'll have a circumstance come up and you just don't understand why that is happening or what is happening. And then there are times we just don't see any resolution. We don't see any way out of whatever the circumstance is. So how do you trust God when you do not agree with what is happening? Now that's a big question, isn't it? Aren't there a lot of things in our life when we look at it from our human standpoint and from our human side, we just don't understand why things are happening and we don't understand what God is doing. Now, all of these questions, I think, are valid questions. And I also believe that God wants to help us navigate through those questions and give us the answers that we need. So what does it mean to trust God, first of all? Well, to trust is to believe in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of something. I was thinking of it. Let me say that again. It's to believe in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or the strength of something. I thought of it as we're driving up this morning, the bridges that we crossed. I am praying they're reliable, aren't you? And I trust that they're reliable. I trust that they're strong. When you see all the heavy traffic on them, that's a form of trust, isn't it? You see, so you're trusting in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or the strength of something. All right, so when it comes to trusting God, then that means that we trust in His liability, we trust in His word, we trust in His ability, and we trust in His strength. See, same definition, but we apply it to God. And we say His word because His word is truth. And we're to trust truth. Now, you remember in our message last week on developing a Christian worldview, and I mentioned in that sermon there were about eight things that we needed to have a good, strong grip on to have a truly good, biblical Christian worldview. And the very first one that I said was that we believe that an absolute God exists. That's number one. An absolute God exists. And therefore, if we believe that in trusting God, when we believe, when the Bible says that God cannot lie, we believe that He always keeps His promises. We believe that He loves us and He has good in store for us, even though it might not seem like it at times. Trusting in Him means believing what He says about Himself, about the world, and about you and me as individuals. And we trust what He says. So you see, trusting God is more than a feeling. It's more than just a feeling. It is a choice to have faith in what God says. Faith in what God says, even when your feelings and your circumstances want you to believe something else. And so it's a trust in what He says. Your feelings and circumstances matter. And both of them matter. Both of them are worthy of our attention. Because that's life, isn't it? Every circumstance, every situation we go through, that's a part of our life. And I guess the real question is, how do we do it? You know, some circumstances are great. Some circumstances we can look at and say they're good. Others we look at from one side and we just don't see the good in it. And we don't see how God could be in it. And so we have to. That's where we really have to trust in God, isn't it? Because our feelings and our circumstances matter in our life. God cares about both of them because He cares about you. He cares about me. And so He cares about the circumstances and the situations we go through. But those things alone are not reliable enough to base your life on. Because our feelings and circumstances can change, can't they? You ever had that happen? You feel one way and a certain thing happening, all of a sudden that changes. I look throughout all of life and we see how our circumstances change. I got to back up how many years now. It would have been a little over 50 years ago. I never thought that I would ever be standing in a pulpit preaching the gospel. I was going to be a meat cutter. I was going to work my way up the ladder, and in my head, I was going to be vice president of public supermarkets one day. That was my goal. That's what I went to college to begin with for, to study economics and business. See, that there's where I was. I wasn't going to be a preacher. Well, circumstances changed, and I know the Lord, I feel the Lord was in control. For instance, let me give you an illustration from the situation in overseas right now. One of the brothers over there posted early the day of the invasion, and he wanted everybody not to worry. Everything is fine. There's not going to be anything drastic take place. That was his, trying, because people were starting to get worried and what's going to happen. And so he posted that on Facebook. Well, about 5 or 6 hours later, he got on there and he says, "I'm sorry, I have to withdraw what I said because the attack had taken place." So what happened? Circumstances changed, all right? So your heart and your feelings are going one way in the morning. Circumstances change, and all of a sudden your feelings, boy, that you're really going to be trusting the Lord then, aren't you? Especially in that circumstance, you see. God, on the other hand, does not change. You know, amen to that. I'll say it myself. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and therefore he's worthy of our trust. We can't trust in men. We can't trust in the things of this world. We have to trust in him. We can't trust in nations, can we? We certainly can't do that. But he's the same always. So let's look and compare a little bit, trusting and believing. Trusting God is not about ignoring your feelings, and it's not about ignoring reality. I know that our brothers that are listening now and sisters believe in God, and I know they're trusting God. But the reality is they're down in a basement, and they're listening to bombs and shells going off and explosions all around them. That's reality. That is reality. So trust in God is not about ignoring those things. There's no way that any of us could ignore what's happening all around if we were in that same position. It's not pretending that everything is okay when it isn't. There's a big difference there. Trusting God is living a life of belief in and obedience to God even when it is difficult. And there are a lot of things in life that are difficult. A lot of them. It's easy to believe that God exists just based upon Scripture. That's what we base everything on. Well, as believers, isn't it? That's the Word of God. It's the truth of God. Well, it's easy to believe God exists. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." I believe God. I believe in God. Not just because Scripture says it, but the Scripture does say it. It's also easy to believe that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, because Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Most people believe God's promises will be fulfilled. Scripture reminds us in Joshua chapter 21, verse 45, "Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel." Not one word. Whatever God spoke, that came true. His promises, and that could include promises of judgment too, couldn't it? But not a word failed, and he says, all came to pass. So we know that we believe in the promises of God, and his promises will be fulfilled. I've said it a lot of times, that would be a great study, personal study, the promises of God. There's a ton of them, let me tell you that. Also, most people believe God is love. In fact, if you ever hear people, some people, you don't really know where they stand, or you take a position on a certain thing. Well, God wouldn't do that. He's a God of love. Well, He is a God of love, but He's also a God of justice and a God of judgment and a God of punishment, you know? But He's a God of love, that's definitely. And most of people, if they have any belief in God at all, they believe He's a God of love, because that's exactly what 1 John 4:16 says. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So we believe that. However, it's much easier to believe God than it is to trust God. And that's what I want to get down to here this morning. You might think that these two emotions are identical, that they're the very same thing, but they're not. There's a difference in them, and it's good to believe, and we must believe. In fact, we better believe. That's one of the first prerequisites, isn't it, in our Christian belief. But it's also good, and it's even better to trust in God. Trusting God goes beyond just believing God. In fact, it goes way beyond. It's much deeper than just believing God. Unfortunately, it's also harder to trust God than it is to simply believe in Him. So let's look at the differences now between believing and trusting God. Maybe you've heard this quote, "Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car." You get that? You heard that? Going to church does not make you a Christian even any more than being in a garage makes you a car. Now, have you ever thought about what that really meant? You know, it's an interesting statement. It's a good statement. It's the truth. But have you ever thought about what it really meant? Have you ever asked yourself if that quote pertains to you? Make it personal. Does that quote pertain to you in any way? So what does being a Christian even mean? You know, I think that's a question we need to ponder sometimes in our life. I can remember back. I'll talk about myself a little bit here a moment. I can remember growing up, and I don't remember ever doubting the existence of God. I was brought up in the church from the time I can remember anything. I was brought up in the church, so I never doubted God's existence. I knew that God was the creator of everything. I knew that God had sent His only Son and His perfect Son to die on the cross for my sins. And at the age of 11, I made a profession of faith and belief in Jesus as Savior. I knew that. I knew that sentence. Jesus is Lord and Savior, and He's mine. He's forgiven my sins. I believed it, and I labeled myself as a believer early on because I knew God and I went to church on Sundays. That covers it, doesn't it? Is that all there is? No, there's a little bit more to it than that. I prayed to God, and I would especially pray in a time of need. And that was usually every Friday with math and history test. I really had a need, and I really prayed hard on those days. But I also thanked Him for my life. I thanked Him for everything. Whatever it was, everything in my life. I did not do drugs, and I did not drink. I was a pretty good person, right? Okay, so I wasn't, because I wasn't. Now, all of those things are true, you know. I believed Him, I believed in Him, I read His Word, I prayed to Him, I went to church, I didn't drink, and I didn't do drugs. I was a pretty good guy. But then at the same time, I did some bad things in my life. things that might not have made it appear that I was a Christian during the week. You know, I was one of those what we call Sunday Christians, I guess, early on. And I'm saying all this just to say that our Christian life is a growing life. We don't automatically, first thing, become a total believer in everything and have complete understanding and all. It's a constantly growing thing, isn't it? It's always growing. And so I did a lot of things that would make it appear that I was not a Christian during the week. But, you know, I went to church. On Sunday, I would be in church. Wednesday nights, even. I'd be out of school. But when I started working, I was off early, and I took off, and I drove 20 miles to where we went to church. And I believe that everything was in His plan. I believe God had a plan. But by my feeling when I was in high school and on, His plan for me was that I stay with public. See, that was my thinking. I still knew He had a plan, though. But I also realized, well, I can just pray for forgiveness. You know, I can do what I want to do, I guess, during the week. And it wasn't real bad things. It was just things that would come across. And this isn't confession time now. But it was things that could come across to people when I profess to be a Christian, and things that would make people think, well, what kind is he? Or is he at all? That's what I want to get at. But that was my thinking. And then I could realize things I'd done. I could go to church, and then I'd pray and get forgiveness, and it would be all right. After all, God loves me. You know, He loves me, and His Son died for me. So I rested in that. That was it. What I did not realize was that believing in God was not all that it takes to be a Christian. And that people can know you're a Christian. You know, we sing the chorus, they'll know we're Christians by our love. And that's part of it, but there's even more to it than that, isn't there? There's more to it than believing God. You remember the scripture tells us that the devils believe, even the devils believe, and they tremble. And that's why I say believing isn't all that's involved in it. Believing that He has a plan didn't mean that I trusted His plan. See, there's a difference there, isn't it? I can know God has a plan for me, but do I trust His plan as it starts unrolling in my life? Which brings me now to the big question for today. What's the difference? I'm getting there, so just hang on. What is the difference between believing and trusting God? A person's belief, as I said earlier, is based on well-known facts, traditions, habits, rituals, and religion. That's what it's based upon. A person's trust is based upon one's relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Trust depends upon a relationship with them. But belief is intellectual. It is according to what a person knows for sure. You know, I know for sure that there's a God. I know for sure He's the Creator. I believe that. That's belief. It's intellectual. Trust is mental and spiritual. According to what a person doesn't know, but is willing to accept. The hymn, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. See? I don't know what's out there. Our brothers and sisters overseas right now today don't know what's out there. But I guarantee you they know who's holding their hand. And that's trust. That's trust. To believe is to have some control over the circumstances and situations that you're in. To trust is to surrender all, because there is no safety net below and there's no soft plot to land in. That's trust. Belief is based on something else happening along with what a person expects. Trust is all you have when nothing else is available. Nothing else. We trust. Belief is based on previous examples and past track records. We can say, all right, I believe that God will protect us because I was almost in an accident one time. And this literally happened to me. I still haven't figured it out. I'm not joking. When I was growing, I was in my teens, and I was heading across the bridge going over to Palm Beach to go to the beach. And I'm driving, and I'm in the left lane. There's two lanes crossing over the bridge. And as we get up to the top, the guy in front of me just all of a sudden slammed on brakes. Now, this is back in the pre-power steering days, folks. There's traffic over here all around. How it happened, other than the Lord, all of a sudden, I mean, I did everything I could, but all of a sudden, I'm in that other lane and moving on. That was not in my control. It was not, because I'm sitting there thinking, uh-oh, here we go. And then all of a sudden, now I was trusting. There was nothing else to trust in but the Lord at that. Believing God is accepting what others tell you. Believing God is relying on what you have had seen happening to others. Believing God is comparing what you're expecting with past results. And that's how we do a lot of times, isn't it? When we're facing something, we say, well, God did this before, so I believe. And that's easy to do. Now, look at trusting. Trusting God means not to have a plan B if plan A failed. Because if you're trusting God, plan A is not going to fail. So we don't have a plan B. That's trusting God. Trusting God means having no what-ifs. Do you like the what-ifs? I use them. You're facing something. Well, what if? Well, that just hinders real trust, isn't it? That's not trust. Trust means having no what-ifs. And then trusting God means having your burdens taken off of your shoulders and given to Him, and He can handle every one of them immediately, effectively, and efficiently. And that's trust. The burden off of you and onto Him. Now, let's look at just three or four biblical examples of people who trusted God. And I didn't put this, I thought of this one, Noah, coming this morning, so I didn't get it in the PowerPoint. But I look at Noah. I want you to think about it a moment. And Noah was no better than anybody else, except the Scripture says at the end of chapter Genesis 5, that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That's the case with every one of us, you know. We found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But what does God say to Noah, this man that found favor? Noah, I want you to build a boat, a big boat, for all of your family and for two of every animal and a few others along the way too. But build a boat in the middle of a dry, arid land. What would you think about that if God said that to you? No water in a couple hundred miles to need a boat that size. And yet God says, build it. Well, he starts building it. I guarantee you his neighbors thought he was loony. And I guarantee you that his sons weren't all that comfortable. But they did it. He trusted, he built. But what was the other thing that God said? He said, it's going to rain. Well, the question that Noah would have, well, what's rain? You see, it never had rain. This was several hundred years from a thousand or so, I don't remember the exact, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It had never rained. They didn't know what rain was, but God says, it's going to rain. And this boat is to save you and your family and the animals. Now just think, what would you do and what would you think? Well, he trusted, didn't he? And he did exactly what God said. He built it the way God said, build it. And there was the salvation of he and his family. So Noah's a good illustration. Another one is Abraham. I have him here. What did God tell Abraham to do? Genesis 12:1, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. He didn't pull out a map and say, now I want you to go from point A to point B. He didn't have Google Maps to just put it in and here's where we go and here's the route we're going to take. God just says, I want you to leave everything and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. Now remember, here's another example. Abram at that time was a pagan, but he trusted God when this happened. He wasn't a pagan any longer, but that's what his originality was. But he trusted God. He did exactly what God told him to do. He left everything behind. He went to an unknown place, but he followed God's direction as he went there. Genesis, and I want to read the first 9 verses of chapter 12 just to show you, get the sense of what happened here. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. At this point, he had no children, remember? Just him and his wife. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And I'll put a parenthesis, that's through Jesus Christ. And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old, but he's going to be a great nation. No children yet, but going to be a great nation. He was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree in Morah. And the Canaanites were then in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants. Wait a minute. You know, I'm still 75 and I still have no children. To your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still further south. My whole point, look at that. His complete trust in God. Everything that God said, as you look at it humanly speaking, especially your descendants are going to have this, and on. He had no children. He's old and no children. And yet he trusted and he did what God said to do. And because Abraham trusted God, he proved him faithful, and therefore God did make him the father of many nations. Now, would you pack up everything that you have and just get in your vehicle and take off, not knowing where you're going? But it's kind of like the wise men, in a sense, following the star. You know, that was their direction, and so he had to follow God. All right, look at the next one. I've got just a couple more. Jacob. Trusting God means allowing God to come into your sensitive situations. You remember early in Jacob's life, he had tricked his twin brother, and he had received the birthright instead of his older brother, who was born, he was the firstborn. He had tricked him, so he had to leave. I mean, he had to flee. And he went off, and you know, anyway, his family built, his possessions built. He finally decided he needed to go back and face his brother. He needed to get things right with his brother Jacob. So he takes everything he has and he takes off to go back home. Chapter 33, verse 1, it says, now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. Boy, what are you thinking right now? You know the rest of the story, but if we pause here, what are you thinking? My brother knows I'm coming. I'd better turn around and get out of here, or I'm going to lose everything. including my life. But what did he do? He said, so he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. In other words, if part got caught, that would be one thing. I mean, it's a safety thing here, but he scattered them, moved them on out, but he went out and met Jacob. And you know, the fear that would be in my heart, and I think, to me, he's trusting God or he would have taken off and gone the other way. And then as he gets out there and he meets his brother Esau, his brother embraces him. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Not what he was expecting. He trusted God to enable them, and God enabled them to reconcile with each other. He caused, and I just thought of this, but he caused his own problem, didn't he? You know, every situation and circumstance that we face in life, it's not always something that just happens. I don't believe in things just happening anyway, but he caused this problem. It wasn't someone else caused the problem. He caused it himself when he tricked his brother to get the birthright. But yet everything wound up being taken care of. God helped him through all of that, and they got back together. All right, look at Job just a moment. Job, at the first part, I would say, of his life, he believed God. We know that. He worshipped him. God said that when the devil was speaking to him. He worshipped him. But remember, all of a sudden, Job lost everything. He lost all of it. He lost all 10 of his children. He lost all of his herds of camels and sheep and goats and everything. He lost everything. And then to top that, he had sores on his body from head to toe. And everybody is telling him, denounce God and get it over with. But he did not do it. He believed God and he trusted God. And here, look at the end of his life. Let me read this verse in Job 13:15, and this isn't up there. You know, this is the thing. I like PowerPoints and all, but after I've done all that and I'm heading, there's a lot of things that come to me along. But here's what came to me. Job chapter 13, verse 15, here's what he says. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That's trust, isn't it? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But you come to the end of his life, and in chapter 42, verse 5, he says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. And what he heard was what helped him and caused him to believe. So he believed God. I've heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And that's the trust. That's what I'm seeing there. I believed you, but now I trust you. My eye sees you. My experience has seen you. I've seen what you've done in my life. And of course, in the end, everything was doubled. And even his children. He had 10 more children. You say, well, that's not doubling. Yes, it is. He had 10 in heaven and 10 on earth. They were doubled. All right, last example, Peter. There's no doubt to me, in my mind, that Peter loved Jesus. But we can see Peter's life growing and maturing, and this is what our Christian life should do. He had to grow into trusting him the way the Lord wanted him to trust him. He grew spiritually. He was learning from everything that he heard as the Master was teaching everywhere he went. But then that became deeper and deeper with that one experience in Matthew 14:29 when he stepped out of the boat into the sea. And in Matthew it says, and so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That was trust. Now we know the rest of the story. He took his eyes off of him and he went under, which is a lesson for us. If you're going to trust him, then you trust him all the way. Don't just trust him a little bit and then something gets a little... And I can just see that water all around him, you know, it was rough. Don't just trust him part way. You trust him all the way. And in the end, as we know, Peter was crucified, tradition says, upside down because he did not think he was worthy to be crucified the same way that his Lord was. He believed and he trusted. All of these individuals did. Now that's the message for us today. Trusting God goes beyond believing God. We do believe him. I trust all of us here believe him. The thing is, do we trust him? Now you might love God, you might serve God, but it's not a matter of just loving him. It's not a matter of just worshiping him. It's not a matter of serving in some way in the kingdom of God. It is a matter of trusting God beyond believing him and believing in him. So there's nothing wrong with belief. We have to have that. That's a necessity, is to believe him. We should believe him, but we should also trust him in everything in life. Because as we read it in the psalm, he is my Lord, he is my strong tower, he is my what? Savior. That's what's the most important thing, isn't it? He is my Savior. Well, when we're in some kind of a circumstance that we don't like, or a trying circumstance, we need salvation, don't we? We need to be delivered. And that's exactly what he does. He's my Savior. He saved me. Jesus saved me by his death on the cross. I believe Jesus saved me when I was in that car and all of a sudden it's in the other lane. There's a lot of things in life I can see where he has saved me. And the most important one is he has saved me and redeemed me to where I know that no matter what, though they slay me, though you slay me, yet will I trust in him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this another wonderful day that you've blessed us with. I thank you, Father, for being with us through worship. Lord, our hearts are burdened with all of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. Oh, Lord, I just pray that they will be strong and they will trust you. Even though there are a lot of unknowns, hold them in the palm of your hand as you've promised. Strengthen their hearts. Strengthen their resolve. Protect them. Be merciful. And Lord, help them through every day to look to you for the answers to the day, to the answers of their situation. And Lord, I pray that for every one of us here, because not a one of us knows what we're going to face this week ahead, tomorrow, the rest of the day. Help us, Lord, let trust be a very strong asset in each of our lives, day after day. And I ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and amen.